You have a Bible with you. If you want to go with me to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, 32nd chapter of Genesis, for those that don't know, that's the first book in the Bible. 32nd chapter. And I want to start at the 22nd verse. So 32:22. And if you have it and if you're able to stand, I'm going to ask if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. If you're not able, it's okay. God knows your heart. Amen. Genesis 22, and it reads as such. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Anybody ever been left alone before? And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me." Then that man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "No. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans," and look at the blessing, "and have overcome." Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now at this preaching hour, Lord, just to say thank you, Lord. Lord, we do not take this lightly, Lord. I ask that you remove Buddy out of the way, Lord. Insert yourself into me. Talk to me so that your people may be edified, Lord. Make the words out of my mouth be as clear that a five-year-old may understand. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. So if I had to put a title on this passage, I would simply call it "Excuse My Limp." Excuse my limp. So you just saw that my wife did the praise dance limp. And hopefully you read the words and had an understanding of what the songs was. So that is the background context for what we're about to talk about today. Amen. So you're limp. But the question that I really have for my theologians and my Bible scholars is, why was Jacob so adamant for this stranger to bless him? Why was Jacob so adamant about this stranger blessing him? I think to really get a smooth or a good understanding of it, there's a few things we need to understand. First of all, I think we need to think about, what are the things that we are wrestling with? What are you wrestling with? In your walk, what are you wrestling with? Your lifestyle, what are you wrestling with? At work, what are you wrestling with? Are you lonely? Do you feel like you need a spouse? A partner? Are you wrestling with this idea of flesh and spirituality? What are you wrestling with? Because see, a lot of us we're Christians, and I love Jesus and I love God and I love everything about my walk. But if somebody says something to me that I don't like, somehow my religion is not the first thing in my face. What am I wrestling with? I mean, am I wrestling with doing the right thing versus the wrong thing? Because if I do the wrong thing, it's going to really make me better. But if I do the right thing, it's not going to really put me in a position that I want to be in? What are you wrestling with? Decisions. For the last 6 months, my life has been a roller coaster. For the last 6 months, my outside life, outside of my 9-to-5, we'll call it job, right, began to do these things that kept me from being focused on my primary job. I had all these other jobs now, and I couldn't focus on this job, so I began to wrestle with the idea of, do I stick this out? Because this is taking care of my family. This is how my kids is getting medical. This is how I'm getting my retirement fund set up, even though they say we might not have none in a few years, but that's a different kind of a story, right? So I got all these things that I'm trying to do, but really, I see my life doing something over here. But this is safe. This is comfortable. So I'm wrestling with the idea of, do I step out on faith and do what it is that my heart is telling me to do, or do I just stick with what's safe and what I know? Because what I've been doing for 15 years. I think for us to really understand these things, we might need to take a look at Jacob. We need to take a look at Jacob just for a little while. So let's take a look at Jacob. So Jacob is the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac. They got some deep, deep, deep secrets in that family. Now, because I only got 25 more minutes, I ain't about to get into it. But I would just say, if you are able to read it, you should read it, because it's a good story. Especially those that like them, all that drama, like, you know, that hip hop and love and all that, you know, them drama TV shows, Young and the Restless, This Endless World, all that. Yeah, it's right there in the Bible. It's in Genesis, I promise you. It started in Genesis 1. It's great. It's the best drama book you'll ever read. Now, here's the thing you need to know about Jacob. I'm going to give you a really quick scenario, right? So try to follow me. So Jacob was selfish. Oh, yeah, he was selfish. But Jacob was, he was a mama's boy. Yeah, anybody a mama's boy? Any man in here a mama's boy? Oh, y'all, because you're next to your wife. You just keep your hand down. Just keep your hand down. Just keep your hand down. Right? I'm a mama's boy. I am a mama's boy, right? And do you know, sometimes my mama did me no good. Amen. I know, just say ouch. Sometimes my mama did me no good because she thought she was helping me. And she made some decisions for me that turned out not to be the best thing for me. But I wouldn't figure that out till later on in life. But at that time, it was perfect. So Jacob had a brother named Esau. Esau was a worker in the field, a man of labor, he was a working man. Jacob, not so much. Jacob liked to be in the house, take care of the housely stuff, be with his mom and hang out. And, you know, the Bible don't say too much except for he was in the house. So I'm guessing he did the housely stuff, right? Whatever the housely stuff is. Use your brain. I don't know. Right? It says that his mom heard that his dad was getting sick and wanted Jacob to have the inheritance of his brother. So Esau was the oldest brother. Jacob was the youngest brother. But Jacob had the envy to be with his oldest brother because he wanted everything that his oldest brother was about to get but didn't want to put in the work. Y'all missed that. Sometimes we want stuff that other people got, but we ain't willing to put in the work. Yeah, so just You got to talk back to me. You got to make a little noise. That way I know you're still with me. Right? He said he didn't want to put in the work. So he came up with this big old plan. So Esau was out working real hard one day. I'm trying to fly through these chapters here. Esau was out working in the field one day, and Esau said, "Oh my God, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. I want to just eat. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry." And Jacob said, "I got a plan. Man, guess what? I got this fresh barley soup. Let me bring it to today. I'm sorry. I got this fresh chicken noodle soup that I know you want, homemade. I just went and picked out the chicken myself. I just breaded the noodles. I put the sauce in there. Oh man, you want this. Oh, you want this, right?" And Esau was like, "My brother, whatever. I'm just so hungry." And Jacob said, "Okay, it's yours, except for you gotta give me your birthright." Have we ever been so hungry? Have we ever been so thirsty for something? I'm going to use it today, the kids' things. Have you ever been so thirsty for something that you're willing to give up everything you got to attain that little bit of nothing? Y'all missed that one too, but you'll catch it later. Have you ever been so thirsty that you're willing to give up everything that God has given you to grab this little bit of nothing? Because Esau was that hungry. He said, "Sure, man, fine, whatever, you know, good, whatever. Just give me the food." So he took the food. Then Jacob went to his dad and talked to his dad. His dad was sick, blind, all these other things, and didn't really know that was Jacob when he blessed him and said, "You got everything, you have the birthright, blah, blah, blah." He didn't know that was him, right? So he was a liar. He was a deceiver. He was a manipulator. He was us. Yeah, y'all didn't like that one. Y'all got real quiet on me. He was us. We ain't been perfect. You ain't been no holy, sanctified Christian who don't listen to... All of y'all ain't been saved all your life. Amen. Some of y'all was these kids that was brought up in the church, but as soon as you got the moment to step away, you was running and not looking back. And some of us was in the church, still growing up in the church, doing those things of the world that we thought was okay because, hey, it's okay. God knows my heart. Right. Yep. Just say ouch. Right. So. But I'm, ooh, look, Tom, Lord have mercy. All right, so Jacob, let me get going. So Jacob was a praying man. So later on in his life, so God blessed him. He got this birthright, right? So he did what he did. He got what he got, but they don't even know. So he ended up working for his uncle. His mom said, "I'm going to send you to my uncle because your brother know that now that I tricked you and you got the birthright and I don't want you to die and your brother vowed to kill you. So I'm going to go send you to go work with my brother, go live with my brother." So while he's living with his brother, his whole point was, "I'll live with you, and I'm going to work to get out of here." So as he was working to get out of there, he ended up building a nation. Y'all missed that one three. Okay, so I'm going to get to that just one second. Sometimes when you are working for somebody or working for something, you might not understand the bigger picture. You think that you just in that thing for you, but God got you in there for something bigger. Let me make some connections here. See, I was at the Boys and Girls Club not for just the kids, not for just the staff or the parents. I was in there because God needed me to meet some people. He needed some people to meet me. He needed them to understand where I was, where I was trying to go. And to see, the thing is that I didn't just work in a little square that the organization gave us. I worked all in the circle, all in the perimeter around it, all in the radius. I went over and beyond because I saw more. I felt more. I understood what the community needed was bigger than that little building. So while I was in that serving place of being a servant, God was building my kingdom. See, while you are in that place right now that you're at, God is building your kingdom. See, you think that little small business that you got is really small, but look at all the people that you're touching. See, you think about that classroom that you teaching in, but look at all the kids and the parents that you're touching. See, we got to think bigger than where we at. Amen? Oh, this is getting good to me. This is getting good to me. Listen, I gotta go to my point too. Jacob was a survivor. Listen, I'm going to say this and I'm moving on. Are you willing to go through the journey no matter the pain? Are you willing to go through the journey no matter the pain? Because it's going to be some pain. And you're going to stand alone. You're going to be all by yourself. But are you willing to go through it even when your partner don't see the same thing that you see? I love my wife. But in our roller coaster we was going through, she didn't see what I saw. She was wrestling with that flesh spirituality thing. But I didn't. I stood on my spirituality. I stood on my faith because I knew that's all I had. I didn't have nothing else. My money looked it funny. The everything around me, it was broken apart. The only thing solid was the love of Jesus Christ. And that's all I had. That's all I had. Listen. So let me get into the scripture before I lose my time. Jacob needed to heal an open wound. Jacob needed to heal an open wound. So I kind of told you about the story a little bit when Jacob and was started with his brother. Now, we're going to fast forward about, I'm going to just use my guesstimation, 60, 70 plus years. Anybody ever went 50, 60 some years or days or minutes without talking to somebody you love? I'm talking family now. We ain't talking about friends. We're talking those that you call family. Could you imagine? Because I can't. I didn't. I've never have. I think the longest I ever went without talking to my brother because I was mad at him was about 15 minutes. That's because he really made me mad. Right? But normally I try to. Sometimes our families, even though they make us mad, they're the ones we need the most. We need them the most. But see, what we got to understand is that their ways is not our ways, and sometimes they don't understand what we understand because we have an understanding that comes from above, and if they are not there, they're not going to catch it. And you got to be okay with standing alone. You got to be okay with walking this walk all by yourself, right? Listen, it says that the same night he arose, he took two wives, two female servants, 11 children, crossed the ford of Jabbok, which is a what you gonna say? It's a river with a fork. One go this way, one go the way. And he took them out and sent them across the stream and everything else he had and was left alone. Now, I'm going to put a pin right there in that part right there because I want to just hit that for a minute. So Jacob knew that he had to go meet his brother. And let me tell you why he knew he had to go meet his brother. Because the distance between your blessing is a realization that I'm trying to change and your enemy. The point of your blessing is here to here. And you are here, and your enemy's here. And you got to go through your enemy to get to your blessing. I'm going to say that one more time. I don't think they heard me on this side of the room. Let me try this again. You gotta get from here to here to your blessing. But from here to here, right in here, is your enemy. Yeah, and I ain't talking about the devil. He's definitely the enemy. I'm talking about, no, I'm not talking about that enemy. I'm talking about that family member. I'm talking about that partner, that spouse. I'm talking about that friend, that coworker, whoever, that one person that you know you need to deal with, but you will not deal with it. I'm talking about that point. I'm talking about that person. Jacob needed to get back to his homeland in Canaan. But in order for him to get to Canaan, he had to go through Edom, which Isaac had blessed Edom to be Esau's property. That's his whole territory, his whole nation. And the only way to Canaan was through Edom. So Jacob knew that he had to get home, but the only way to get home was to go through his enemy, his brother, that he had tricked out of a blessing. Oh, his brother said, I'm going to kill you. Oh, I believe he was going to do it too. I'm not going to tell you how the story goes. Go read it for yourself. Right? He didn't kill him though. But, spoiler alert, I'm sorry. So, when you are thinking about this opportunity from here to there, these blessings, what's stopping you? What's stopping you? You gotta heal your open wounds, right? How can you expect to move forward when you're still holding on to the past? Amen? Now listen, it said that Jacob heard the voice of God, and now Jacob struggles and his innermost fears are about to be realized. Jacob is tired of working for his uncle. He has worked for his uncle for 70 plus years, and his uncle has done nothing but dog him, degraded him, made him feel less than, didn't make him feel important, nothing. Kept tricking him, lying to him, manipulating him, conniving him, everything you can think of, he was doing it. And Jacob was taking it. You know why? Because some strange reason in our minds as human beings, when we do stuff to people and it starts happening to us, we think it's just karma. And so we start taking it and we keep taking it and we keep letting people dog us and abuse us and hurt us and all of those things. And God said, that ain't what I got you here for. I ain't got you here to get stepped on. I got you to do the stepping. So he's tired of his uncle's stuff, and he's ready to go. So he's out. He's gone. He's moving. And in the midst of his uncle's stuff, he has raised, like I told you, a whole nation. He got wives and cattle and kids and grandkids and nieces and nephews and uncles and everything. About 500-something people came from this one man in a total of about 70 years. Y'all missed that if you ain't shouting already. And one man created this big old, he is a servant. He is a slave to his uncle. And in the midst of his slavery, in the midst of his bondage, he created a whole nation. Whoa, y'all don't get that. So even in your mess, even in everything that you do, God will continue to bless you. Because your blessing is not for nobody but you. Jacob went across the fork and sent his family away. Why is it when we get mad, when we get in a little funk, when we get into our little pity parties, we want to be all mad at our family members, like it's their fault. Like they did something, huh? My daughter woke up this morning late for work and she's snapping at me because she woke up late. I'm like, I didn't tell you to hit that snooze button. Huh? We get mad at people closest to us because our stuff ain't right. Is that fair? No, it ain't fair. Does it happen? Absolutely. right? It ain't fair. But see, the thing that bothered me was that Jacob was ready to meet his past. And Jacob understood that in order to meet his past, he got to stand in uncomfortability. Are you willing to stand in uncomfortability? Are you willing to stand in fear? Are you willing to stand in undecisiveness? Because when the rubber hit the road, when you really got to deal with what you got to deal with, when it ain't no ways around it, ain't no turning back, it don't feel good, and you got to be able to stand all the way in it. Stand all the way in it. Amen? So as he's standing in his uncomfortability, he's laying down, and I'm ooh, Lord, this part right here just it blew my mind. Because listen, look what it says. It's this part between this part, and wow. So it says that, and Jacob was left alone, period, space. Jacob was left alone, period, space. Yeah, I'm not an English teacher, but I love like breaking down. Jacob was left alone, period, space. So the period means that's the end, right? Right. Space means room for a new beginning, right? Y'all got to catch it. Y'all got to get a little faster. Y'all missing it, right? It says that Jacob was left alone, period. Remember, he sent all his cattle. I didn't tell you that part. Okay, so Jacob had like a bunch of cattle and all that kind of stuff. So he knew he had to go meet his brother. So what he decided he was going to do was he was going to send his brother all these gifts. So he sent, we'll say like, you know, 20 cows, 20 goats, 20 rams, sheep, all the different animals you could think of. Then he sent servants, wives, family members, all these different people. And he sent like 10 different loads at like 10 different times. And every time they went, they had said, this is from your humble servant, Jacob, right? So he sent all these gifts, all these things to his brother. And then he told him to say, you know, he's coming. He's right behind us. So could you imagine Esau coming on his way, and then the first herd comes of all these people, and they say, this is your gift. And then after that first gift comes, then another one 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 comes. Then he says, these are your gifts. Why is it when we trying to get people to, you know, soften up, we start sending them material things. Oh, y'all missing this. I guess I just must be me. I might be talking to myself. Because see, I know when I mess up, with my wife, when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, that's why she coughing, right? When I don't do it, I got to go to the store, Gary, right? And I got to buy something, right? And then when I buy, and I try not to make it diamonds because that's when I really mess up, right? So I got to buy something, and that's supposed to calm her down, right? So could you imagine Esau getting all these gifts for about 2.5 hours straight? Look at the women like, yeah. Yeah, I'd give, come on, bring it. Getting gifts for 2.5 hours straight. So by the time that Jacob got to Esau, Esau ain't even tripping on trying to kill his brother because, shoot, I just inherited all this stuff. Right? In that space, the period means that chapter is over. That chapter in your life before today, before this moment, before you heard my voice, it's over. That thing you was going through, it's over. That place you was in, it's over. God got a new beginning for you. He got a new chapter for you. Don't worry about what you can't control. You can't control it. Stop worrying about it. Stop trying to take control of what you can't take control of. Only person in control is him. I guarantee you, you'll be a much better person when you realize he is in control. Amen? Amen. So, sitting in that place of uncomfortability, I know I'm throwing about 50 sermons out here all at once. So he says that He says that he was there, and then it says space, because now I'm in a new beginning. I was here in my life with everything that I've done, everything that I've said, everything that I've been through, but now I'm trying to get over there. So I gotta walk through this space of uncertainty. Are you ready to walk in your space of uncertainty? Because right now, I'm in my space of uncertainty. And the only thing I got to hold on to is my faith, because that's all I got. I don't know where I'm going, which way it's coming. I don't know anything. All I know is that God is on the other side. It said that a man wrestled with him. Now, could you imagine? Now, this is me imagining, right? I'm going to get it back up here so you can see me. Could you imagine? Okay, so I'm sitting in my camp. I'm all alone. I'm a bit theatrical. I understand. I'm sorry. So I'm all alone. I'm just sitting here and I'm looking at these are lights, but we'll call them stars, right? So I'm looking at the stars and all of a sudden a man appeared. Now, I'm sorry. I'm human. Okay? If I'm laying down in the wilderness, okay, open space, there's a river right there that I can see. There's everything around here that I can see. And if a man just appeared, my theologians, because here's my question, my theologians. Later, all throughout the Bible, when the angel appeared, he always say what? Fear not. Right? Ain't that what they always say? Fear not. Did that say fear not? It just said a man appeared. First of all, if a man just appeared in front of me and not use the words fear not within the first 2 seconds, man, I'm gone. Oh, I guess some of y'all just so holy that you gonna take it. Not me. Not me. I'm gone, right? I want to hear fear not, right? I want to hear fear not. So the man appeared, and it said they began to wrestle. Woo! That one got me. That was so good right there for me. So this man appeared, and it said they began to wrestle. I'm just trying to look at my notes because I want to make sure I'm not missing something. Because who was that man? Who was that man that just appeared? Some say it was an angel. Angel of God. Could have been Michael, Gabriel, one of them, you know, could have been an angel. Some say he was wrestling with himself. So like his spirit came out and he began to wrestle with himself. Some say it was Jesus. And he wrestled with Jesus. Whoever you say, however you think, the point I want you to get to understand is even Jacob had to wrestle. Right? So he's wrestling. But what is he wrestling with? I think to understand that, you got to go back to my very beginning to understand Jacob's life. He's wrestling with every situation he has come across in his whole life. What are you wrestling with? Instead, the Bible goes on further to say that he wrestled. And he wrestled so long, he couldn't even beat this man, couldn't even take him, man, person, thing, couldn't even bring him down. That's how strong he was. Okay, I'm going to talk to this side. I don't think they. He was so strong that this angel, God, Jesus, whoever you want to call it, himself, could not bring him down. You ever watch wrestling? I had the opportunity to watch one of them MMA things. Yep. Not March Madness, but, you know, the octagon thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? UFC, there it is. I had a chance to watch that, and I was paying attention, and dudes, they get to holding each other, and they trying to bring each other down, right? And them boys is strong. All you see is muscles. They wear these little bitty clothes, and all you see is muscles. Right? Muscles. Oh, I'm the only one saw that? Y'all don't see that when they... Okay. My wife always tell me, I look at the weirdest things. That's fine. I'm sorry. Right? So, they got all these muscles, and you mean to tell me that Jacob was so strong that let's just say it was an angel, let's just say it was Jesus, couldn't even bring him down? Is your faith that strong? Because, I mean, let me wrestle with Jesus. I'm hoping that I can go 12 rounds too. Because the Bible said, it didn't say that they only went for a little while. It said they wrestled all night. Anybody ever been in a fight before? Oh, you don't have to tell me. I know. You're trying to be holy. I get it. Right? So for those that's been in a fight, right, and I'm just talking about not with a spouse. I'm talking maybe it happened in high school, right, where you got into a fight with a friend or three, whatever, and those fights usually last, what, 3-5 minutes, right? And when you leave that fight, you find the first closest chair, table, or whatever, and you be like, whew. Because you exerted all your energy in that 3 or 5 minutes. They wrestled all night. I'm just going to say that, you know, they wrestled, let's just say, 5 hours. Take your 5 minutes times 5 hours and you tell me. And you mean to tell me that he couldn't bring him down? He was that strong that he wrestled and wrestled and wrestled and wrestled? With no breaks, nobody can bring nobody down. And it got to the point that the angel had to use some supernatural stuff, or that the spirit had to use some supernatural stuff, or Jesus had to use some supernatural stuff. The Bible say that he took his finger and touched his hip. And when he touched his hip bone went out of place. And that took him down. Yeah, you caught that. I'm glad you caught that. They missed that. They took him down. He wrestled as a human for years, for hours. And then you mean to tell me when he said, man, you got to let me go. The day is coming. The sun is coming out. And I can't be here when the sun come out. I got to, oh, my God, I just saw that. He said, I can't be here when the sun come out. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He said, I can't be here when the sun come out. I can't be here when Jesus come. I got to be gone when Jesus come. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Y'all catch it later. Hold on a minute. No, that was not in my notes. Wow. He said, I got to be gone before the sun come out. So he touched him and broke him down. He touched him and broke him down. He's trying to touch you and break you down. He's trying to touch you and break you down. Because he can't do nothing with no proud person. You too high on yourself. What are you supposed to do with you? Jacob was a servant. He was a slave. He worked for people. People he didn't like. He did things he didn't care to do. But he knew he had to do it. He knew he had to do it. Why? Because the bigger picture is greater. Right? Oh, let me get there. Watch this. It says... He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Huh? He said, what's your name? And Jacob said, my name is Jacob. And he said, no, your name ain't Jacob. Your name is Israel. I'm just trying to get some time for this side to catch it real quick. He said, your name was Israel. You are the father of a nation. See, Jacob was your first life. Jacob was your first life. But when I put that period at the end, and then I put that space in between, I started you a new life. Jacob said, the reason why I had to touch you, because I needed you to know that you need me all the time. See, you can stand up straight on your own, but can you stand up straight with a deformity? Y'all missed that one too. You'll catch that one later. So Jacob said, your name is Israel. Well, I'm here to tell you that your name has changed. Your name has changed. See, you was one way before you got here. But then when you got here, you did something different. And because you did something different, now God has you in a different place doing different things for a bigger cause, for greater people. See, my name used to be Buddy King. But in 2009, my name was turned to Reverend King. See, I was elevated from what I used to be. But even as Reverend King, I was still Buddy King. Huh? Because Buddy King is a servant of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reverend King is a servant of the Almighty Father, God, with his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm out of time. Amen. What is your title? Just because you are usher, if you ain't doing the work, just because you are a welcomer, if you ain't doing the work, just because you are up here singing every Sunday, don't miss Bible study, Sunday school, I'm at everything that the doors open, I'm here, I'm there, but if you ain't doing the work, Doc, we got this thing confused. We think that the work is just here in this building. This ain't the work. The work is out there in the community. It's over 75,000 something people in St. Cloud. Ain't no reason these seats shouldn't be full. If these seats ain't full, that means we ain't doing our jobs. If everybody in this church invited 3 people every single Sunday, guess what happens? Huh? He said, all you got to do is get them here. I'll do the rest. You get them to the door, I'll do the rest. I don't know who the brother was. It was a brother when I first came in. He welcomed me. His smile was so great. He had a St. Cloud State hockey thing on. I don't know where he, there he is right here. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Welcoming. I felt welcomed. I felt his spirit. He genuinely was happy that I was here. If I didn't have a church home, I would join his church home. Amen. Because of one person, could you be that difference maker? Are you that change that God has been asking about? See, don't you think for one second everybody in your life is here to hurt you, because they're not. Even the ones that you can't stand, your job is to be there for them. Because this is what happened. I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to be the spoiler. So Jacob ended up seeing his brother. And guess what? Remember I said he sent all those gifts? And remember how I said Esau wanted to kill him? So what ended up happening was when Esau actually saw Jacob, when they actually laid eyes on each other, they both dropped everything, ran and gave each other the biggest hug ever in the world. If God can turn your enemies around, what are we doing? That's why we got to stand in our faith. That's why we got to stand in the things that we can do. So why do I have a limp? Excuse my limp. I'm loving my limp. I have a limp because I have been wrestling with God all night. I have a limp because I am broken. I have a limp because I'm an overcomer. I have a limp because somebody said I couldn't do it, but I did it. I have a limp because I'm not what I used to be. I have a limp because I'm saved. I have a limp because my feet hurt from walking around all day trying to save folks. I got a limp because I realize that my yesterday does not decide my tomorrow. I got a limp because I'm battle tested. I got a limp because I'm a survivor. I got a limp because I know that my Lord Jesus Christ can do all things that strengthen me. I got a limp because ain't nobody gonna stop me from serving my God. I got a limp because everything that I do for him. Do you have a limp? Oh, I wish somebody would just stand up and give God praise right now. Oh, I thank God for you today. He has altered our lives with just a touch. I can go to the New Testament. I can talk about the woman who just touched the seam of his garment, and she was blessed. You walk with your limp, and you be proud of your limp. You be proud of your limp. And you don't let nobody take nothing from you. And that thing that you're wrestling with, I just want to tell you, you go into your prayer closet and you tell God to deliver you. And you tell him to just make it plain and make it clear. And I promise you, your space and your period will have appeared right before your life. Somebody in here needs prayer today. I'm going to ask if you would, the prayer teams, and if you want prayer, if you would all just come forward. I'm going to ask if everybody just come forward. Even if you don't want prayer, just come forward just for a minute. And then if you want prayer, you can stay up here. But I want to ask everybody, please come up forward. Just if you would, please, and hold hands. Excuse my limp. Some of us, we've lived some hard lives. We've been through some things. We've seen some things. We've understood some things. Everybody hold hands. Come as close as you can. Hold hands, please. We all family. Amen. I don't want nobody to feel left out. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you know that? Can you say Jesus Christ is Lord?
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Romans 9:10 says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, I shall be saved. Can you repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I believe in my heart that you died, were buried, and on the third day, God the Father raised you from the dead. Right now, Lord Jesus, I open up the doors of my heart and invite you into my heart as my personal Savior. Based on the prayer that you just prayed, where is our Lord Jesus right now? 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now saved. I want to ask the prayer team people to please come to the front if you're not already in the front. And I want to do this prayer with you as a whole. And then I'm going to ask if you want to stay with our prayer team and be prayed. That would be great. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again just to say thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the word that you have given to us on this morning, Lord. We thank you for the time and the spirit that you have put into this place. Lord, we ask that you touch all those individuals under the sound of my voice, Lord. Bless their homes. Bless those that are with them, Lord. Whatever it is they're struggling with, whatever they're wrestling with, Lord, we ask that you just give them clarification and give them confirmation right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch them in only a way that you can. Lead them, Lord. Stand next to them, Lord. Pick them up if they need it, Lord. Just don't let them fall to the wayside. And all this we ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Yes.